Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
So from CNBC, there's Johnson. Users are reporting that the former vice president's official 2020 campaign page is now nowhere to be found on the first page of results for the search term Joe Biden. And I did this search before we went on the air. I just want to make sure I'm not telling any fibs. CNBC isn't leading me down a path. And in fact, Joe Biden did not show up on a regular Google search that I did. His official page did not come up on the first page of the search. It was, this page that was there. Also, something about Act Blue and Wikipedia page and his Facebook page. And then JoeBiden.info, which is the page we're talking about here. His Twitter. Some CNBC story that says how Joe Biden could win the battle but lose the war on Trump in 2020. So this early on in the campaign season, basically what you're seeing is people peaking and dropping out. At least that's what happened to the Republicans in the last go round, right? Like you saw, you know, first it was the Ben something or other. I can't even remember their names
Carson.
Now.
Ben Carson.
Yeah, they were such a right. big deal yep. 2 years ago.
I remember when Ben Carson was talking about this video surfaced of him talking about how pyramids were built by aliens. And that's when he peaked. It's kind of funny that Donald Trump has the same nickname for him as he had for Jeb Bush, which is like Sleepy Joe versus like Jeb Bush was low energy.
Yeah.
Low energy. What is up with that? I don't know. I don't think he's so sleepy, actually. I don't understand that nickname.
Who? Joe being low energy?
Joe is being called Sleepy Joe by Donald Trump.
It's probably because he wants to, because Sleepy rhymes with creepy. He doesn't want to go that far in yet.
So, Gropey I didn't get Joe. That. Gropey, in a way, rhymes with Joe. Could go there, you know.
But we're told up to this point that it's Joe Biden, Sanders, Warren, and Buttigieg are the ones that we're supposed to watch. I mean, that's it. There's your candidates, people. I mean, there's like 20 people in for the Democratic nomination, and
hey, come on,
forget
what about
those.
What about Andrew Yang? I want universal basic income.
I believe
everybody.
That's why Greg is here.
Oh,
is
my
to
goodness.
See Andrew Yang at his speech.
I mean, we're on a very libertarian show, and I think yeah. everybody listening can sort of agree that UBI is less government intrusive than means tested welfare. Which is what we have in many countries. In
how is it we, means tested? So go ahead and explain. What's the difference between means tested welfare being more invasive than, say, UBI?
Right. So
I can't believe I'm sorry. I'm just flabbergasted that I can't believe I just stepped in something here.
No.
Without realizing what was going on.
Joe Biden has a good feel for the American people and knows exactly what they want deep down, reads JoeBiden.info, the parody site. He's happy to open up and reveal himself to voters and will give a pounding to anybody who gets in his way. And this site, I looked at it. It does look like a presidential site. It's got Joe Biden at the top. He's, you know, smiling, and it's just Biden 2020. And I think it's a little ways down before you figure out that this guy is gunning for Joe as opposed to promoting Joe.
He's just Biden his time.
He's just Biden his time. And there are lots of videos and pictures of Biden doing creepy things. Whether or not Biden's doing creepy things, I don't have any idea. But you know, it don't look good. So Biden's been under scrutiny after a number of women made allegations that he touched them in ways that made them feel uncomfortable. After those allegations surfaced, Biden pledged to be more respectful. Biden's campaign did not respond to a request for comment on this article from CNBC. The internet snafu suggests Biden's campaign is having early difficulty with its digital operation, and that could pose trouble for the 76-year-old as he competes in a field that's already proven to be savvy with new tools for online outreach and fundraising.
Having a website and having a rally is great, and you get these people, and they're all excited about your rally. But then, what are they going to do?
Right, what are they going
to
do?
They can talk to their friends, they can donate, right? And then they're kind of done for a while. With an app, I mean, you can reach out to them. You can have the app have, you know, automated notifications.
Yeah, notifications, sure.
You can see when the candidate's coming to your place, right. Your town. You can even help organize a rally. I can take this a few hundred steps further. You can have Andrew Yang appearing as a hologram in 100 different locations, which he's already flirted with this idea,
mm-hmm.
at rallies which are autonomously helped to be organized by the app.
Now, how would somebody interact with the hologram? It's not a bad idea. People might go someplace to see a hologram. How would they interact, though?
It's that particular performance may not be personalized to every person, right? It's just about seeing Andrew Yang in your rally. But that idea of organizing the rally with the app in everyone's pocket, allowing them to be more effective, doing 90% of the work. So all you do is press a button.
Yep.
And it pairs you up with people, and you can have rides to and from the event, and you could actually see when the event is or even organize the event.
Biden has been under scrutiny after a number of women made allegations that he touched them in ways that made them feel uncomfortable. After those allegations surfaced, Biden pledged to be more respectful. But, you know, the pledge basically said something in effect of, Joe Biden's done nothing wrong, but we'll be more respectful. And, you know, the article's sure to point out that Joe Biden is 76 years old. I think he's older than Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's the oldest one in this race.
Right.
I think by a couple years.
Trump's the oldest president that's in history, and Biden proposes to be older. That doesn't, I don't know. I don't think American, for me, that's the reason that Biden and Sanders are out.
By the way, not to be ageist or anything, but I wonder if either Biden or Sanders wins. If we're going to have another election in 2024,
right,
with the same candidates, because they're only going to do one term. You know, if you become 91 or 92, you might want to say, okay,
yeah,
you know, I've had my one term.
Have we had a president in the United States die of age-related causes while in office? Has that happened?
It depends on, well, William Henry Harrison died from the flu while giving a speech. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't sound like that's exactly age related. No, I'd say no is the answer. There may be a death that some of them died of lead poisoning. I can tell you that much. I would be fine with a bailout as long as we change some kind of system surrounding college so that these kids aren't, I mean, a whole generation enslaved in a kind of serfdom. Fine. I'm willing to give one in order to get the other, but no candidate's talking about it in that way.
I would even say there's a bigger system here, right? Okay. The corporate system.
Yeah.
Corporations, as you often libertarians say, are a creation of the government.
Yeah, they're construct of the government, sure.
You know, and what are the top corporations today? Facebook, Amazon, Google, Microsoft, right? These companies are all tech companies. The thing is, people come to work for these corporations, but then they automate away a lot of the work, right? Facebook has one engineer for every million users.
Mm-hmm.
They don't employ that many people to serve the users.
Sure.
And so that's a very different capitalism that we had in the 1950s when you actually respected your workers, and they were a company man for 50 years. They got a pension, right? They supported on one paycheck an entire household. So things changed, and today's kids, even in the primary school, are being taught to work for these corporations, a bit like they were taught to work for the state in let's say USSR. Work for the state. Well, here it's going to be sit down for 10 hours and be quiet and learn to work for the corporation.
So the Yang app, does it enable communication with the campaign, or is it strictly the candidate talking at you?
Well, lovely question. We are working on so many features, and we're trying to prioritize. So the whole point of the app is to have people communicate with each other and not just the candidate talking at you. So, yeah, I think people should be able to submit questions. I think that's an excellent feature request that we should take into account.
Isn't it going to degenerate like the comment section, though? I mean, the first rule of the internet is don't read the comments section.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I haven't been to enough Reddit AMAs to know. How they vet questions.
The thing is that sometimes your desire to keep the trolls out or the bots out just so overwhelms, you know, the average user's ability to get through the security protocol. I can't lay any comments on Breitbart because they use Disqus, and Disqus is convinced I tried to open up a Disqus account. And I can't talk to them and say, no, that was a mistake. Something else was going on.
Every week I go visit a friend who's in the nursing home, and he's a diehard Democrat. And he, he was just a Hillary supporter. Why? Because it was about time that a woman got it or something. It didn't even make, there was no even sense to it.
It's like this identity thing, yeah, with who is the person rather than the policy. But like, what's interesting is that there's sort of been the progressive wing is almost expected Bernie to just win the whole thing. And then Biden comes along and you get this bifurcation. So people who are older, right,
yep,
tend to skew more conservative, or I should say establishment moderate.
Yep. Right?
And then you got people who are like younger. Who is Bernie attracting is like the younger voters, right? I don't know where I remember somebody said this online. They did a fact check of CNN's poll that Biden is like trouncing Bernie. But the CNN poll actually skewed very much older. And they just discounted all the younger people as like NA, like not enough people.
Yeah, this is what libertarians are constantly doing within you know, the Republican polls. They're like saying things like, "Well, you know, if they would, they're only polling old people, and you know, this sort of thing." And it, you know,
well, who has the landlines these days now?
It's true. Who has the landlines? I don't have one at my house.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, is that who they poll? Is that they just call landlines?
In a lot of cases, yeah.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Greg, you're here for the, I guess you're coming to see the Andrew Yang thing in like Dartmouth tomorrow, day after? I'm not even entirely sure.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm a big fan of UBI. I've been calling into the show for years.
That's Universal Basic Income.
Universal Basic Income, the idea that everybody gets money instead of making sure they're poor first before they get means-tested welfare. Given the fact that we already have welfare, this would be something that essentially would give people the dignity to collect a check without actually
dignity
identifying as like disabled or something.
So I guess my question on UBI is I kind of think of it as a solution without a problem. Right. I see the lowest unemployment in U.S. history going on. Lowest unemployment in U.S. history going on at a given point. And I mean, like it's been in my lifetime. 1969 was the last time we had unemployment as low as it is today. And we're proposing and the UBI folks are proposing to give out free money to people. Can you reconcile that in my head for me? Like, why would we want to do that?
When yeah, no, I think
things
that's a
are
good
working
point.
Fine.
I think that's a really good point. The optics, I mean, you got to reconcile that, right? You've got almost full employment, as they say.
My hope is that the robots step in and start taking the role of, you know, doing all the paperwork so that we can fire all the bureaucrats, because that would really bring costs down so that instead of increasing costs by paying everyone a similar amount of money and putting them on a dole where the government can then start putting conditions on that. Right. That's my fear with universal basic income is that it creates this leverage point for the government to eventually start saying, well, if you don't do this, we're going to start taking that stipend from you. Right. We're going to start not paying you a certain little amount that you're making now. We're going to say no. So that's my concern with universal basic income. But then also, you know, I just think that it's putting more into the hands of the government rather than just saying, why don't you keep your income? I mean, why don't we instead of dialing up government, dial it down and start letting people have more opportunities to start their own businesses and let the market drive the innovation rather than just throwing money at the problem by stealing from other people.
Well, I agree with a lot of I think anybody that listened to me on the show and in general knows I'm sort of a left libertarian. I think a lot of these solutions can be done in a voluntarist way.
This story is from Slate. So Georgia just criminalized abortion. Women who want to terminate their pregnancies would receive life in prison.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. So on Tuesday, Georgia Republican Governor Brian Kemp signed a fetal heartbeat bill that seeks to outlaw abortion after about 6 weeks. The measure, HB 481, is the most extreme abortion ban in the country, not just because it would impose severe limitations on the women's reproductive rights, but also because it would subject women who get illegal abortions to life imprisonment and the death penalty. The primary person... speak with my mouth full.
Republicans, this is the reason that libertarians don't trust you. When you get control of a state, Republicans, this is the crap you do instead of
Lowering taxes.
Right. Fiscal conservative stuff we're talking about. Look, there are states all across the United States that are controlled by Republicans. And there are states all across the United States that are controlled by Democrats. If you want to know what it looks like if the Republicans or Democrats get in charge, don't look no further than Georgia for Republicans or, I don't know, New York State for the Democrats. Or I mean, there's a variety of amounts you'd look.
And this is also why Republicans lose and can't get hold in other areas, because this is the type of thing that happens under extreme Republican control.
In a lot of cases, young ladies don't even know that they're pregnant in the first 6 weeks.
Right. So it says here, the primary purpose of HB 481 is to prohibit doctors from terminating
So this is not passed.
Apparently it was passed, or at least that's what the way the article title has made it sound.
All right.
That it happened. Is to prohibit doctors from terminating any pregnancy after they can detect embryonic or fetal cardiac activity, which typically occurs at 6 weeks gestation. But the bill does far more than that. In one sweeping provision, it declares unborn children are a class of living, distinct person that deserves full legal recognition. Thus, Georgia law must recognize unborn children as natural persons, not just for the purposes of abortion, but as a legal rule. And I should say that this House bill, I think, while it has gone through government, it doesn't become enacted into law until January 1st, 2020.
And they probably have to, there's going to be, you know, a whole bunch of lawsuits surrounding it too,
I'm guessing. But, you know, who knows? If it's already gone through, that may be, it may be unstoppable at this point. So it says here, the radical revision of Georgia law is quite deliberate. The bill confirms that fetuses shall be included in population-based determinations from now on, because they are legally humans and residents of the state. It goes on to say here, the most startling effect of HB 481 may be its criminalization of women who seek out unlawful abortions or terminate their own pregnancies. An earlier Georgia law imposing criminal penalties for illegal abortions does not apply to women who self-terminate. The new measure, by contrast, conspicuously lacks such a limitation. It can and would be used to prosecute women. Misoprostol, a drug that treats stomach ulcers but also induces abortions, is extremely easy to obtain on the internet, and American women routinely use it to self-terminate. It is highly effective in the first 10 weeks of pregnancy. Anti-abortion advocates generally insist that they do not want to punish women who undergo abortions, but HB 481 does exactly that. Once it takes effect, a woman who self-terminates will have, as a matter of law, killed a human, thereby committing murder. The penalty for that crime in Georgia is life imprisonment or capital punishment.
Delightful.
Yeah.
One question I have is, if you really believe, if you really in your heart believe that as soon as conception happens, that person is a person, right, with full rights, wouldn't you invest in, like, preventing miscarriages? Like, isn't that as bad as an earthquake killing a lot of people? I think he's like Act 1 and 2, right? Act 1 is their inflation. And from what he said, I wasn't really sure if he said the prices will go up anyway, regardless of UBI, kind of like how health insurance prices went up, regardless of whether there was Obamacare or a private insurance market that's like kind of private.
Right.
Things go up anyway because the government money goes down, right, in price.
Well, the presumption is that there'll be more money chasing the same amount of goods, so price would then necessarily go up.
Right, because a lot of things are priced, you know, one market signal is how much can people afford.
Exactly. Well, you know, so we do know this. Everybody's buying food now, right? Yep. There's not a person that goes, well, food's too expensive, so I'm just going to stay hungry and die.
Unless you're in college.
Yeah, if you could convince me that somehow UBI, with all the other programs were going to go away, right? The ones where we tell people, because I believe that in order to, that good decisions, and like I'm all about good decisions result in good things. But we don't get good decisions without experience, and we don't get experience without having made bad decisions. So I think that bad decisions are an integral part, the yin and the yang, as it were, of, you know, we have to have bad decisions. We have to at the very least see other people make bad decisions in order to have those. I mean, this has to be the biggest question. Where is this money going to come from?
The 1% of the 1%. Women.
What was that thing about Bernie Sanders and the writing the rape stories? Women, they want to be raped. God, that was glorious.
So, what is that medicine? I forgot. When you have like the tiniest like Avogadro number molecule. Oh,
yeah, what is that? Fentanyl.
No. I forgot. Instead of doing the traditional medicine,
homeopathy.
Homeopathy. Yep. So I was just going to make the joke that the 1%, the less percent, the more money you get. Right? If you get the 0.001%, they're going to pay for everything. No. So Andrew Yang proposes a value-added tax, for example.
Okay. Because that's on top of everything else that we have.
Right. But remember, we are a person who opts into UBI under Yang's proposal would not be getting the means-tested welfare stuff. So, for example, if they identify as disabled, right? Yang talks about this in an interview with Ben Shapiro, actually, funny enough, because he sort of sits with people on the left and on the right. So in a fiscal conservative world, he points out, somebody could identify as disabled, and they have two choices. They can either believe they're really disabled, in which case they're not screwing the government, they're not committing fraud or anything.
Right.
They're really disabled. But think about that mindset. You identify as a disabled person.
That's bad.
Right. They might turn down a job because they might be considered able-bodied.
I'd like to present the argument for the traditional family.
All right.
That they are being badly cheated. I will define them as a father who's working, the mother who is produced the children, risked her life to do it, and is raising the children. She is losing, they are losing the money that the mother could be out working, say about 20, just as a low ball estimate, and that the children are costing them money, let's say about $10,000 per child, so two children would be $20,000 for the cost. So they are losing, as a rough quantitative analysis, on the order of $40,000 per year for raising, for doing the most important job of all, creating children, raising them. So if you want to comment on that.
Well, I mean, what do you have a proposed solution for it? I mean,
nations
want to have children produced, but me as an individual, I don't particularly benefit from the next generation. I'm going to be...
I think you do. I think you do, because for one thing, you may reincarnate, and for another thing...
Okay. I hadn't expected you to go that direction, Dan. All right.
Can I piggyback onto that? Because you brought up something that reminded me. You were talking about liberty-minded individuals. And I'm actually experiencing an issue again with my own site, with a particular shirt. I've had a printer, again, that had printed a particular product of mine, has rejected it again for, I guess, not being unique enough of a parody. So
okay.
I had a shirt that is basically mocks. It's for, you know, Linux users and software freedom users who, you know, go around testing different distributions of Linux. And it was called Fedora the Explorer.
Okay.
Right. And so it contains, you know, a parody likeness similar to
Dora the Explorer.
Right.
But it says Fedora instead of Dora.
Yeah, right. And the character, you know, looks similar but is not identical. And so printers, I've had troubles with printers saying, hey, this looks too similar. You know, you need to change. And it's like, well, at what point, it's a parody.
Right.
At what point is it no longer a parody because it's unrecognizable?
Yeah.
You know, like at what point are you, you know, like when is your legal team going to stop being so scared, you know, that, you know, it's going to make sense to print this product?
So that's an interesting thing, right, about permissionless.
Right.
So they got like Bitcoin and you don't have to ask people's permission to like buy this or that. And so like we have desktop printers now, and desktop printers allow you to print whatever you want.
Right.
Well, so to a certain extent, they don't allow you to print t-shirts very well.
Well, I mean, and then we're going to have like 3D printers of guns, maybe. I don't know.
Abortion is murder, but it's a murder that's in the family. The mother murdered the child. If she wants to do that, it's her business.
I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. That old
Absolutely.
Threat.
Absolutely. So, but you know, so right now murders happen every day. There's murders happening in downtown Memphis right now as we speak. I have no skin in the game, so I'm not going to go and do anything about those murders.
So, without government, it would be basically up to the family and the tribe to avenge a murder.
Yeah. That's the way it's been. That's the way of nature. That's the way it's always been.
What about the Hatfields and McCoys like and devolving into some kind of ongoing feud that lasts for generations?
The Hatfields and McCoys eventually worked out a truce, didn't they? They got tired of killing each other. Yeah, they did.
That's certainly a government-less solution. That is
the Hatfield and the McCoys are no longer a thing. They're actually neighbors.
All right.
So yes, those things will work out in the end, and you do it without Gunnerman Goon Squad violence against your neighbors, because all of these other solutions require you to send the goons to take care of something that you think is morally correct.
And would talk about the Leviathan, the war against of all versus all of Hobbes, like, and they would say, oh, if you just have one with a monopoly on force, you don't have these endless vendettas back and forth like the Hatfields and the McCoys. You know, what would
we
you
have
say
an endless them? Vendetta right now by the goons
on the left? There's this sort of weird distrust of like consumer choice. Like if we give people vouchers, they're going to choose what school to go to. And then some schools could face private competition. Right. And these parents could choose wrong. They could choose wrong. And then the public school would be starved of like resources.
Right.
On the right, though, there's also this distrust of like if people have their free time, they might choose wrong. They might choose to like take care of their kids or parents, or they might not be productive in society the way that they might not have a job.
Right.
And like, I think if we are really going to have a society of libertarian values and freedoms, we're going to have to just trust that, yes, some people may misuse their money and their time. Right. But that's what liberty is all about.
Yeah, I don't mind that as long as they have the consequences for misusing their money and their time.
I feel like there's a lot of people, though, that make those choices like based on, you know, they want to control other people. So, for example, there are, you know, like, let's bring up the issue of schools. If, you know, you have a voucher and you have choice, right? On the left, you might be afraid that, you know, your child or that people might be sending their kids to a school that isn't teaching, you know, forcing all the kids to learn about social justice. And, you know, on the right, it might be the same thing where you're afraid that people might be sending their kids to schools that aren't, you know, indoctrinating all the children with the ways of Jesus.
The main thing, Greg, and I've brought this up to you before,
right,
is that no one person can decide how this money is spread out. And just because, and you said this earlier, I wrote it down. You said that if the money is spent correctly,
I argued against
this money correctly.
I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying that people will choose how to spend that money, and no one will earmark it for a specific purpose. And if it's spent, I was saying that people who distrust that system,
I do distrust it,
right? But they would often make an argument that the money is being spent incorrectly in their view. But from the person's point of view, that may be the very consumer choice that they make.
But what you don't realize, Greg, is that opportunity cost of the man that you had to take that money from and what he could have spent it on and what he found valuable because you decided to take it and give it to somebody else.
No, I think that's very important to keep in mind. But again, it goes both ways.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.